You are watching and listening to Chris and Lester Till I Die TV on YouTube and your favourite podcasts.
Hi everybody, Jerry Taggart here. Now be sure to watch Chris and Lester Till I Die TV by subscribing on YouTube and following them on social media for all the latest Leicester City news and information. Come on, you foxes!
The net. It's the opposition show with Chris on Leicester Till I Die TV.
Taking a look back at the game.
Right, Chris.
You've got to ask, haven't you? He had to ask. Am I right? And that just about sums up. Good evening, fellow Fox fans. How the devil are you? Well, 27 and a quarter hours on from the game. You know what? I haven't calmed down. I haven't calmed down yet. This is Leicester Till I Die TV. You can catch us, not everywhere tonight, because apparently Facebook is down. Like a prostitute on overtime, it's gone down for a long, long time. So whether this is going live on Facebook, it might be in some parts of the world, it might be in some parts of the country, who knows? Twitter, apparently it's working on Twitter, at Leicester TID, and YouTube, Leicester Till I Die TV. And if you are on YouTube, or if you're not on YouTube, get over to YouTube and subscribe to the channel. It really, really helps us, and smash those likes as well. And if you are feeling really generous, you can make a donation. It all helps the smooth running of the channel. And if you sooner listen to us rather than watch us, and I'm honest with you, with this ugly mug, as I always say, I don't blame you. You can find us on all the major podcast platforms. Just search Leicester Till I Die on Amazon, Apple, Google, Anchor, Spotify, Podcast Addict, Accent, all major podcast platforms, and you'll find me there. Smart speakers, just say, find the podcast Leicester Till I Die. For some reason, you have to say podcast first, and then you can find us. So we are all there. Do you know what? And I've got my guest, because it is the opposition show tonight. My guest is in the green room waiting to come in, but I did warn him there might be a little bit of a wait.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Oh, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't. And he's gone. I don't know what's happened there. But do you know what? It feels like we can't criticise our team anymore. I had a big thing on in the Facebook group. And we don't want to criticise our teams. None of us do. But as I've had a season ticket in the past, I've paid my dues in going to watch the team. Look, I bought the shirt, I bought the hat, I do all this. I think that gives me a right to say, do you know what? That wasn't a brilliant performance. Or do you know what's going wrong with the team? I mean, I don't agree with the booing. I will never boo at a match, pre, during or post. That is wrong. But we should be allowed to say we're not happy. And without other Leicester fans going, oh, you're not a true supporter. Oh, where were you when we played the Oval on a wet Tuesday in the third tier? You know, and these are sort of youngsters. I'm 60, so I've probably followed Leicester before you were even dribbled out your mum's mouth. But do you know what? I don't want to criticise the team. Like I say, I feel sometimes that I have to. Whatever job we do, we have to take criticism. Now, these guys, it's not the fact that they're on a lot of money, but these guys go out in front of other people, they know what they're doing. And I know they don't go out to want to perform badly, but they do. Sometimes it happens. And my problem is that we've got the same manager as we had last season. Barring a couple of players we let go that weren't even in the team, the same team as we had last season, was added supposedly better players, maybe one or two we can question at the moment, to the squad, and yet we're a shadow of the team. You know, we didn't even... Oh, no, we've got 4-4-2, so it's not even the formation. We went to a 4-4-2, which a lot of us had been screaming out for, and Palace made us look like Rochdale. Or maybe Palace didn't, maybe it was just us. 4-4-2, and it was the same dire performance. I'm going to thank Ali in a minute when he comes on because he was generous. It was like my birthday and Christmas with two gifted goals. We didn't deserve them. How much longer can you complain? It's going to be a long, long, tough season. A few hellos. Almighty Blues FC Chelsea Channel, welcome along, mate. How are you? Douglas. Thank you for saying. I never know two channels with the same name. You do confuse me, and I am old. Hope you are good. Ankit again. He's saying hello to Doug. And probably Doug saying hello back. Terry, good evening, sir. How is the dog? The best team didn't win. Wonder who that really was. Neither one, did we? And... Pradwell, I think signing Vestergaard was a big mistake. Slow pace, we should have signed Kurt Zouma before West Ham. Rough and pace stopper. Ant from Leicester Till I Die, Leicester Fan Channel. I've just given him a job there. Get over, support our fellow Leicester channels. Vestergaard is hopeless. For me, it was Tarkowski. I understand we probably couldn't afford him. Cahill was on a free. Do you think he would have come to play in Europe for one last season? What I want people to understand is football is about opinions. Opinions are like arseholes. We all have one and we're all different. And you know what? I shouldn't be made to feel bad because I say that performance isn't good enough. Like I say, I'm not going to go, boo or anything like that. I just want the right to be able to say that without someone saying, nah, nah, that's a real supporter. Nah, 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 nah. Let me calm down. I will bring my guest in who's been sat there waiting. This is the Opposition View Show.
On Leicester Till I Die TV.
Taking a look back at the game.
Good evening, Ali. How are you?
Yeah, good, mate. Enjoyed the rant that was up there with Keegan's. I'd love it rant years ago. Yeah. Thanks for entertaining.
Do you know what?
I do get what you're saying, though, when it becomes sort of toxic. I know from... particularly the last season of Roy Hodgson, when things aren't going well, different sections of the fans, and if you call out a performance, you're a bad fan, but you can still be behind the team in the stadium and then analytically talk about the game after the game and point things out that clearly weren't right. So I could sense what you were talking about there.
And I mean, we get a lot of the, do you remember when we were playing Yeovil in the third tier, and do you remember where we've come from? Yes, I do, because I'm old enough, and that was then. But we are no longer a third-tier team. We are a Premier League team. And I've got to say, nice to see your gnome again.
Yeah, he's still here. He's done me proud.
He is. Gnome from Gnome, as they say. Ali, give a shout-out to your channel, Palace fan through and through. What's your channel? Where can people find you?
Yeah, it's called Pride of South London Fan TV. You can find it on YouTube. One thing I've added this season, obviously, with everyone being back, so I made my channel, created it during lockdown, but I haven't had I haven't had my channel since we've all been back in the ground. So lots of fan shots which are going down really well, particularly as my season tickets right next to the Fanatics. And I know a lot of the people like to watch the Fanatics. We're very famous for our atmosphere. So, yeah, check it out. Please subscribe. It would be great. Yeah. One more chat with me and my gnome.
Exactly, exactly. If only the gnome, if not you. Yeah. To say, you know. But, yes, it does get that. I mean, Watford, surprise, surprise, sacked their manager at the weekend.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, well done on the guy for lasting seven games. I think that's the record. And yeah. I had Watford to go down. And like with West Brom last year, I really hope they do go down. I mean, they were 14th and they sacked the manager. We're 13th, you're 14th. We're not asking for our managers to be sacked. We're probably just asking for an improvement.
I don't think Watford fans are asking for their managers to be sacked, are they, to be fair to the Watford fans?
No, probably not.
It's just the nature of their board. Interesting that Ranieri appointment, because I know obviously he is heralded in Leicester, rightly so, but I have a good friend who's a Fulham fan who is not a fan of Ranieri at all. So I think that appointment is a real roll of the dice from them. It could go either way, I think.
I've got to be totally honest with you. I said, I mean, don't get me wrong, you know, I would have Claudio Ranieri's babies. I really would, you know. We love the guy, but he had to go when he did, because if you notice and look at Ranieri's history, which you probably haven't, but he tends to not stay anywhere more than two or three seasons maximum.
No.
He comes in, he does reasonably well in his first season. This is what an Italian psychologist said when we signed him, and everybody was like going like, what, you know? And she said, he'll do well the first season, and then it'll tail off. But he kind of came in on the back of what Nigel Pearson had created with The Great Escape the year before. He was building on that. Fulham, it was a completely different
situation. Yeah, he had a much better foundation at Leicester than he did at Fulham. What I would say is I think Sarr, their forward Sarr, gives him a big chance at Watford. He's a very good player, I think. I think he gives him a lot of hope. When you've got a player like that, we know with Wilfred Zaha, it's your sort of white hope as a team. So it's going to be a very intriguing appointment, and be interested to see how he does.
Yes, yeah, I mean, wish him well. Funny thing is, it's weird because I don't wish Watford well, because I think when you treat managers like that, but it's hard to feel sorry for the manager, because what other job? If you were bad at your job, or I used to be bad at mine, and we got sacked, we wouldn't necessarily walk into another job straight away. But no, managers do, and they get the big payoffs, of course.
It's just the same names, isn't it, that go round and round. I mean, obviously, like I said, no disrespect to Ranieri, but it's another name. He's been at Fulham, he's been at Leicester, that goes around. You must get frustrated if you're a young manager looking to have a chance. And just thank God for Crystal Palace giving Patrick Vieira a chance.
Yeah, and let's come on to Palace, because whilst I didn't have you in the bottom three, I really seriously had you down to struggle this season. With a new manager, hadn't sort of really, you know, got that a lot much experience on that department, and certainly new to the Premier League. You'd had Roy Hodgson, who I think looking at it had probably done miracles with you for a few years in what he'd done. And I know you were a big fan of his, I think, from last time we spoke. But I thought you'd be there sort of 16th, 17th. All right, we know it's early days, but you're with 12th, 13th, 14th. But you're doing better than I thought you would be.
Oh, well, don't worry about your prediction, because 442 magazine predicted us to finish 20th, which was absolutely absurd, considering we still have Wilfred Zaha in the squad. He pretty much guaranteed to be 17th. So, listen, I think his appointment was a risk. So naturally, other fans and pundits sort of in their predictions lowered us, not to the extremes of 442. That's natural. My thoughts on Vieira were always, as I put in a video that I did on my channel, Vieira, what to expect, was I just didn't know what to expect. I wasn't overwhelmingly positive about the appointment. I wasn't overwhelmingly negative, because there wasn't a lot from his managerial career to go on. He had a little bit of time in the MLS. You can't really vouch that against the Premier League. His time at Nice was up and down. You know, he did qualify them for the Europa League. It was a tumultuous time. The sporting director who he got on with left and came back. And then ultimately, it didn't work out for him there, but he did leave them ninth. It wasn't, you know, a Thierry Henry at Monaco and a complete flop. So it was, I was very much open to the appointment. And so far, I don't think Palace fans could have wished for it to go better. I know that sounds strange with 14th, but we didn't expect him to implement the style so effectively. And you probably saw that style. We're totally different in terms of style than we were to the last time you played us with such effect. Yeah. And we had a hard start to the season, you know. As a young new Premier League manager, he's had Liverpool away and Chelsea away. So to get to this international break, 14th, we've got us a good foundation to build on. And if anything, we're frustrated in the last week because I know we're about to come onto the game, but Monday night we played Brighton and we should have won that game, threw that away at the end. And then I feel like, to be honest, we were the much better team yesterday. And I think, yes, I'm pleased we came back from 2-0 down, but it's another game I think we could have got 3 points from.
To be honest with you, yeah, I mean, and this is what confuses me with Leicester. I mean, Palace have always been a bit of a bogey team, you know. I mean, to sort of, nobody's really sort of does a lot better than the other team. I mean, just looking here, we've played each other 18 times in the Premier League. You've won 8, we've won 7, or it's 19 now, and there's 4 draws. That shows sort of how tight it is. But when you look at what Brendan and Leicester have achieved over, I mean, forget the Premier League. I mean, yes, we won it. Yes, it's amazing. And let's be honest with you, you know, you've given Vieira a chance. Somebody's got to give him a chance somewhere, and somebody will benefit from that. Ranieri came in and took us, you know, to heights. Yeah. Not, you know, that could happen. You know, you never know. Maybe not this season, but when you look at what Leicester say achieved the last 2 seasons, you know, we're top 4 most of the seasons. We finished 5th, Europa League, an FA Cup win, and within the space of 2 or 3 months, we've just gone from that down to, no disrespect, Premier League also runs at the moment. It's amazing, but it's the same team, and that's what we can't understand. And you know, we've been saying, well, it's, some people say it's injuries, and well, it's not injuries because we had worse. Well, everybody had worse injuries last season because of the short summer. It's, you know, we've had a normal break, although, you know, we had the Euros obviously, but I just don't know. Were you surprised how bad we were, or do you not think we were that bad?
Listen, I've got a big respect for Leicester and the way you've challenged the top 6. And I've got a big respect for Brendan Rodgers. I've always been a Brendan Rodgers fan back at the time he was at Liverpool. I thought he was quite harshly sacked there in the end, although obviously that was vindicated. You can't argue against the appointment of Jurgen Klopp. I thought you were very poor yesterday. And I think football sometimes is obvious, and we can go around the blocks and talk about the game, but you have to start. The starting point is you were very unlucky at the start of the season to have Fofana get injured, your centre-back. And, you know, Liverpool are allowed to talk about Van Dijk for 10 years being injured, so you're allowed to talk about that. I agree with what Ant said in the chat that Vestergaard was really poor yesterday, and also you didn't have you didn't have Ndidi yesterday in the central midfield. And I just felt the word I'd use to describe it is cohesion, but a lack of it in your team yesterday. I didn't quite know what your plan was. I thought it was very naive to go with just two central midfielders, really, against Luka Milivojevic, James MacArthur and Conor Gallagher, who work extremely hard. I don't think it'd be any surprise that we got the ball quickly off you at times and we had 60% possession. I think you could argue, you know, his plan kind of worked in that Iniesta and Vardy both on the pitch. They took their chances and they were ruthless. But beyond that, I didn't really know what you offered. I felt like we had the better of the play. I didn't really know what his game plan was. And that was sort of the vibe I got from Leicester fans on the who were on the same train as me, listening into their conversations on the way home yesterday. It was just poor. You know, a big fan of Rodgers, big fan of Leicester, but you're right to ask questions about yesterday because, as an opposition fan, I was asking questions about what your plan was because basically we don't gift wrap you that first goal. I think we win that game.
Definitely, and I think you know when you came back to us, if there was going to be a winner. There's only going to be one team because we'd made our subs by then. And, you know, that was the moment isn't offering what he used to. And, you know, there's a lot of players that have been injured that have come back that aren't quite as good. But we don't know what our team is offering. You know, we don't. Yeah. We ended last season. And I'd love to say Brendan. And I'm not going to sit here and say I want Brendan sacked because I don't, because he's the best manager we've had. You know, for many a year, you know, obviously you've got Ranieri, etc., and O'Neill, but he's up there, so I don't want him sacked. But
yeah,
he kind of stumbled upon back end of last season the 4-4-2. He's not a 4-4-2 fan, but with injuries to Harvey Barnes and injuries to James Maddison at the same time, he had to bring in Acho in, and it clicked. And we had the odd disaster, what have you, but generally it clicked. I was just going to quickly say, but then we get to this season, and it's like, oh, forget that. We're going to go back to, you know, Christmas tree or 3-5-2s or whatever, you know. And you're thinking, well, hang on. We got where we got. We were scoring like mad. Nacho was our top scorer on fire. And up until this game, we had 89 minutes playing time. As fans, we get confused a little bit by all this, don't we?
Yeah, I think I get the Iheanacho Vardy thing. That's something that's worked in the past. I think maybe where he was naive, I think maybe he was playing both Harvey Barnes and Lookman and not having another central midfielder in there to sort of get another man in there and get you on the ball more. I thought Lookman looked very promising. I was really interested watching him because we were linked with him in the summer as well. So, yeah, I think possibly that's where he maybe went wrong is playing both Lookman and Harvey Barnes and not having another central midfielder in there. And, you know, you've got the international breaks, probably come at a good time for you to for Brendan to go away and reflect. And absolutely, you've got to keep the faith with him. He's a very good manager.
Yes.
I think maybe what's more worrying for Leicester is it's not just the league form, is it? You've been poor in Europe. And I do think that for me, I was saying to Neil on Beyond the 90 the other day, that's for me, the top four are locked in this season. I think I think they're too strong. You can talk about Ollie, but the 1-1 at Everton, I think there's a bit of overreaction to that because I think Rafa did what Rafa does. United will be there with Ronaldo. The other three are just for sure going to be there, Chelsea, City, Liverpool. Yeah. So I think that would be your like sort of hope and excitement for the season if you were getting through that group stage in Europe and continuing, it's a bit of a cliche, the European tour. But it looks like your European tour is, you know, going to be over.
The wheels come off. We're waiting for the AA to arrive. That said, of course, Napoli lost as well to that Moscow. So that's kind of kept us in there. It's not going to be as easy, but it's almost like we've had two good. I mean, like you say, the top four's done and dusted, you know. Yeah. Ollie should be, I think, if Ollie doesn't win it this season or win anything with the squad he's got, I don't think he'll be there next season. But we've got to be looking at sort of that fifth, sixth. And everybody was saying, oh, yeah, Leicester will be there again, fifth again, blah, blah, blah. But there's other teams. You know, I think Benitez at Everton is a fantastic signing for them. You know, they had the players there that Ancelotti brought in, some good players. But I do rate Benitez as a manager, and I think he'll do well. West Ham have continued. I thought they'd be back down at the bottom again.
I think they're just going to they'll have that Europa League effect, didn't they, that they had yesterday against Brentford. Yeah. You know, it's hard to play those Thursday night games. And I mean, you still got a chance to get yourself up there, I think, you know, and get yourself in the European position. But I think to challenge in the way that you have for the top four the last two seasons will be very tough.
Yes, yeah. Just go through a few comments and catch up with those, if that's okay. Hussan, good evening. How the devil are you, sir? We need Tarkowski. Like I said in my opening rant, I rated Tarkowski. It is a bit worrying when you come to think that because, you know, Evans is injured, Fofana's it. Because we've got that injury, we should still, at this stage, be have enough players in there to cover that. You can't say, well, if Fofana was in, we'd be fifth now or anything like that. It hurt us, but, you know. Terry says there, Vestergaard being nicknamed the human lamppost by other fans. But, yeah, he says there, what did you think of Vestergaard?
I thought he was poor, yeah. I thought he was poor. And if anything, I was a bit disappointed Edouard didn't get on his shoulder more. I mean, Edouard hit the bar. If he should have put that away. Well, not should have put it away, but I thought that might be going in. So, yeah, I thought he was poor. And it's a shame that one's not worked out. In fairness, I remember when you got him in, a lot of your fans on social media were talking about how quickly the club adapted in reaction to the injury of Fofana, but it's clearly not worked out. Based on 90 minutes I've seen him, that's what I'm basing it on, really, is he looked poor to me.
He's had a couple of bad games. He came on right at the start and he got injured, believe it or not. He's come back. He was quick. I mean, I would have liked Cahill, I've got to be honest with you, because I think he would have given us that just for one season, you know.
The first season Gary Cahill came, honestly, he was quality. And I never really was a big fan of him before. I always thought him and Jagielka at the back for England were dark days for England. But honestly, he oozed class. But the last season he was with us, his legs were gone. I don't think that would have been a good one for you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's all ifs, buts and maybes at the moment, isn't it? Ant says here, love it, Ant. Lampposts have a use.
They do, Aiden,
Aiden, good evening, sir. How the devil are you? David, topic of Vestergaard is interesting. I can't deny he was a rock versus Man City. Time and again, he blocked shots with body and legs, came away from a lot of praise. I mean, I know where you're coming from, David, but the problem is I can't single out Vestergaard because nobody had a good game. And that was the fact, you know, you made us, you know, and we've done this with a lot of teams, you know, you've looked so good against us. And a lot of fans are saying other teams have now worked us out. And do you think you've worked Leicester out?
No, because I don't think that was the Leicester that have been. Like I said, I didn't really know what your plan was yesterday, really. So I wouldn't say that we worked you out. I think Rodgers just got his tactics wrong. And I think actually we just took the game to you and we're very much implementing our own style rather than worrying about someone else's style. I think at the moment, for the first time, you can see a stamp of DNA on what Palace are about in the way that we press and the way that we're passing out from the back. Okay, it shot us in the foot at the beginning, but what was so impressive was in the second half, how we just stuck. We didn't let that phase us and we kept going. Whereas that's what you would associate with Brendan Rodgers, that his style of football is attacking style. But you didn't see that yesterday. It was almost like, I don't know what, not that we worked you out. It's almost like, I don't know what Leicester are about.
Yes, yeah. This is an interesting comment, and I was going to come on to him late, but we'll bring on now as Dalko. Good evening, Dalko. How the devil are you? Palace gave Edouard games. Leicester gave Daka nothing. Daka did nothing against Legia Warsaw in the Europa League in the middle of the week. But Edouard,
it's a bit easier for us to give Edouard games when his opponent, his rival, is Benteke, who has camp at some performances in, whereas you've got Iheanacho and Vardy. So I think you've got better options there. I think, you know, Edouard would have to be working hard to get in the team as well at Leicester.
Yeah. I know, you can't drop Vardy because, you know what I'm saying, nobody's undroppable, but he's, you know, joint top scorer. Iheanacho was top scorer last season. Mm. You know, you've got to earn your right to get into that team. You know, it's not Vardy had retired.
They proved it yesterday. They were absolutely ruthless. I mean, yes, we gifted Iheanacho that. He still had to put it away and he dispatched it promptly. So, you know, I think that's a bit harsh. I don't think that's a fair comparison, Edouard, to Daka, because you've got better options than us up front, I'll be honest.
I think the worrying thing for me, and I don't mean any disrespect for this, but you know, as football fans, we look at the fixtures beforehand and we go, that's a draw, that's a win, we should get a win there, well, that's going to be a tough game, and you go through it. And we probably had, and I say no disrespect to any of the teams we've played, but the best or easiest start we've ever looked at getting in the Premier League for the teams that we've been playing. They're all teams, apart from Man City and West Ham, that you would say would be in the bottom half. Let's say that. And yet we struggled. So the worrying thing for us as fans is what's going to happen when we come up against the likes of, you know, Liverpool, Chelsea, and Man United, who we've actually got up next. But I wanted to ask you about Edouard, because obviously he was so heavily linked with Leicester because of the Rodgers at Celtic sort of thing. Mm. And we went for Daka instead. You've obviously got fans out there that saying, oh, we should have signed Edouard because he got two goals on his debut and what have you. Yeah, we know that, you know, he's not always going to last. But how's he been for you?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, on his debut, it was incredible. He got two goals in 28 minutes against Spurs. And he was instantly, you could see he's a natural finisher. He's an absolute goal scorer. And what I found interesting was when he came on against Tottenham was Wilfried Zaha's eyes almost lit up. It was like, oh, okay, I've got this guy in the middle now who can make something out of nothing. And he just flew down the wing. It was almost like he increased the belief of Wilf that he's got someone to vibe off a bit. Since then, he's not kind of replicated that performance. I thought he was quite good against you. Could have got a goal, almost got a goal, hit the bar. He's still got, you know, to make that adaptation to the Premier League. But I'm thrilled about that signing. I think the other option was Nketiah from Arsenal. But I'm happier that we got Edouard. And, you know, we've got, I know you're a friend of Doug from the Dugout Channel. He knows a lot about Edouard and was telling me about, he's got a good knowledge of Scottish football. And he thinks as well that he's going to really hit the ground running for us. So, yeah, very pleased with that signing, but I'm very pleased with all of our signings.
I think there was something to do with the fact that it was Celtic not allowing him to join Leicester because of the Brendan Rodgers thing, rather than Brendan Rodgers maybe not wanting him. Brookline makes a good point here. We need to bring a number 10 in. Madison, or not Perez, please. But then we can't bring Nacho. But we can't. I mean, you know, if Madison or Perez plays, then Nacho doesn't seem to.
Or could you not just take Lookman out? I mean, I thought Lookman played quite well, but
do you know what? Look, I was a bit surprised when we signed Lookman because he was completely sort of left field. He came from nowhere. We were being linked with all these other players. And to be totally honest with you, we hadn't got the money to throw at things. Our owners are kind of in the tourism industry.
Good for anyone.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, so and the fact that they went out and found 15 million to actually get, whether you like him or not, we got to, you know, Vestergaard into a place for Farn who was injured. And that was probably money that we might have been having aside for right back. So we've got Lookman in on alone. When he's come on as a substitute, he's absolutely lit the game up. He gets the crowd going. He wants to go forward. Roger seems to like this. Don't lose the ball under any circumstances, passing it around. Lookman likes to get the ball and run. He gets the crowd up. But when he starts a game, he doesn't perform quite as well. And I'm really worried because we had Under, who looked good when he came on last season. And then he warmed the bench for the rest of the season, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, how did he look? Oh, you were at the game, I presume. How did he look?
Look, man, I thought he did a couple of nice things. I thought he looked good. I just think, as I said at the start, I felt the balance of your team was out. And I think, you know, you're talking about getting in that Perez or Madison. I think Lookman would probably be the one to come out and shift that balance back.
Yeah, indeed. Charlie says there, Lookman is our best player at the moment. He probably is, to be honest with you, but then at the moment, that's not exactly hard. Tuna, look, Brendan should have parked the bus. I mean, like I say, I've got to say thank you for those two goals. You did gift them to us.
Yeah, we did, yeah.
It was birthday and Christmas all come together, but we still had to score them, in fairness. You know,
we
managed to. And I have never jumped out of my seat so much, because I was watching it on Sky, never jumped out of my seat so much as for goals as for those two, because it was so much unexpected.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sat there thinking, okay, it's finally, we've got two up front again, brilliant. And I'm sat there going like, oh my God, this is awful. And then we got the two goals. But
I mean, I don't know what. Yeah, I think that's what reflects so badly on maybe the management, is that you were given the gift. And then you came out second half, and you just didn't capitalize on it at all. The first 5 minutes, you had a chance or two that could have killed it. And then we just took control of the game again. And I guess that's where, you know, you can criticize Rodgers, is it was naive really to let us regain that control and regain that belief and get ourselves back in the game. And then,
what gets me is, and I say this a lot, that, you know, I've sat here and I've seen some of the team selections that Rodgers has put out, and I'm thinking, oh my God, what are you doing? And we beat Man City 5-2, or we beat Arsenal 1-0 away. And you're thinking, oh, well done, Brendan, you know what you're doing. But he's 2-0 up with his experience as a manager against a team, a new manager, inexperienced by comparison, and certainly inexperienced in the Premier League.
Yeah,
we should not be letting that slip with that experience that he's got. And he was outthought by a less experienced manager.
Or by a football genius.
I'm not
getting too far ahead of myself.
It's looking good for you.
Yeah, no, I'm not getting, it's very early days. I think that's you know, we don't know what they said in the halftime team talk, because we came out very motivated and it looked like Vieira got back into them. And that's one thing I would say about Vieira, he's definitely got these players on board. They're absolutely believing in him and the system of play. And like I alluded to earlier, the way that, okay, we made the mistake by the passing out of the back, but that's the way we want to go. We kept our belief in that, and the players kept their belief in that system. They didn't doubt it. And I think that does reflect badly on Rodgers yesterday. Just yesterday, if you look at it isolated yesterday, like I said, I do think Rodgers is a good manager. But what did he say in the halftime team talk? Like, you know, you should have been coming out buzzing. You were 2-0 up, you're given the gift, and then Vieira got ours back up, which would have been hard, because I'm telling you, Sellers Park was flat at halftime. You know, our fans, we're buzzing, the atmosphere, it felt quite biblical. The rain started pouring at halftime. It was miserable. Everyone around me looked miserable in the Holmesdale. And then suddenly in the second half, the sun came out and then we got back in the game. I think you're right to sort of be annoyed that you let us back in it, as well as we did to come back in it. Perhaps we should have been given that opportunity to do that.
The worrying thing for me is, and like I've said, I have to keep saying this because certain fans seem to think that, you know, if you say criticise Rodgers, you want him out. But he's starting to sound like a Steve Bruce. Like a manager that's fighting for his job or to keep the team up. And, you know, when they come out and they make the same excuses every week. And, you know, he's coming out after that game and saying, oh, it was a great atmosphere. And I, bugger the atmosphere. And, you know, his quote today is, and it's a big thing on the website, we know where we need to improve. Well, Brendan, if you know where you need to improve, bloody improve, because you know, I know we're only 7 games in, but you've not improved. It's not got any better. And, you know, we said at the first couple of games, oh, well, it's early days. And, you know, yeah, we won against Wolves, but we were lucky against. I mean, we conceded 3, although it was the third one was disallowed by VAR. We conceded 3 to Burnley, who were the bottom almost. They couldn't score against Norwich.
Yeah, I always think of Brendan Rodgers, he's quite into the school of psychology and stuff, I think. He's a bit of a flex, and he will never come out and criticise the team. So even if he thinks they've played badly, I think he'd more the kind of manager to keep that indoors. You know, there was sort of the cliche at Liverpool where he kept saying, this is where Liverpool fans got frustrated. He kept saying when he had the dip after they had their title charge, he kept saying there was that classic phrase, we were outstanding when they'd like drawn or lost. I think, that I can get that frustration as a fan, but I'm sure they're having conversations in house.
And I don't expect him to come out and criticize the team. I think that is completely wrong. Terry was saying there, a very, very a good compliment for your manager. If Vieira can just sort one or two things out defensively, I believe Palace can get into the top 10.
I mean, in response to Terry, I mean, I'm not worried about the back line. I know that might sound ridiculous because of the error that was made, but Anderson, who made that error, is a superb defender. He's made an error there. It happens, particularly with the way we're trying to play. But, I mean, I did a thing on my channel with a Fulham fan. He couldn't believe we've got him. He's been faultless up until now. I honestly believe, and this is going to sound ridiculous to a Leicester fan, having witnessed those two defensive errors yesterday, honestly believe in Anderson and Mark Gahey, we've potentially got one of the best defensive central partnerships in the Premier League. And that will sound ridiculous to a Leicester fan, having seen those errors, but that was an uncharacteristic error. Yeah. To sum Anderson up, he went on loan to Fulham and they made him captain. I got faith in the defence, but there's a few things there. I mean, the Brighton one as well, the last minute goal, that shouldn't have happened as well. So maybe there's just a few organisational tweaks that need to occur on the training ground. But Vieira has got some very experienced and good coaches alongside him, which makes me positive that we'll get it right.
Yeah. I'm just going to say hello, Turf Moor House TV. Dan, how the devil are you? You can't polish a turd, we know, and you try regularly. And Dan, seeing as you're here, I've got to play this for you. Please bear with me here, Ali. I was going to say hello to Mrs. Riley.
Oh, behave. Yeah. Yeah, baby. Yeah.
Just for Mrs. Riley there. I'm going to say a lovely woman. Lovely woman. And if you can tell her, the check's in the post, Dan. Andrew says, here, we have more players than last year, less injuries, but we were worse off, which is what I was saying. Bronze Plumber, good evening, sir. How the devil are you? Welcome along. FBS on the shirts, what's that? Failing Brendan substitutions. That does leave us mystified, his substitution.
Yeah. Well, I think that was where the game was won for us, wasn't it? Both our subs came on and scored. You know, Elise came on, which is brilliant that he's off the mark. And then, you know, it's Jeffrey Schlupp's world and we're all living in it.
Yeah, the Rose Ed King. What are you getting out of it? But in fairness, you know, I mean, you know, we had Jeffrey Schlupp with us here. We'll come on to Jeffrey Schlupp and, well, we might as well do him while we're talking about him.
I mean, rhythm is the answer. Jeffrey Schlupp's the answer.
No, please. No, don't build him up to be better than he is. But no, I mean, how is he doing? Because he was great for us in, I mean, he won a title with us and he...
Yeah,
but he'd got the pace. He just couldn't score for us. He can score against us.
It's kind of ironic and funny because I did a preview with Neil on Beyond the 90, and I said I'd possibly sell him, and he went and did that. No, I think the thing with Schlupp is actually he has always been quite, particularly under Roy Hodgson, he was. He was central to our counter-attacking style. That, well, you can call it a style, anything a style under Roy Hodgson. but he's just not had the luck with injuries with us. He seems to get back in and around the team, and then he'll get injured. So I'm kind of hoping now after that goal, that can be a springboard for a season. He can stay injury-free because I do think he can play a good part for us as a squad player. And, you know, you could see when he comes on, he brings an energy to the team. So I think his main thing for Schlupp and hope for Schlupp is that he can stay in injury free. And, you know, he doesn't seem to get big injuries, but niggly ones that keep him out for a month or two at a time. And it's just frustrating because he can't get a rhythm or any sort of momentum going in his season. Yes.
I've got to ask you about, and forgive my pronunciation here, but I have difficulty saying Bertrand. I always want to call him Bertrand, but so I'll probably get this pronunciation wrong. But Elise, is it? Is that how you pronounce it?
That's the one. Yeah.
Elise, what an amazing player! I know he got the goal, but even so, he looks an amazing player.
Yeah, listen, I mean, all the Palace fans are calling for him to play. I mean, the clamour before their game, all on social media, was please don't play Jordan Ayew. You get sometimes those general messages from, we get general messages from the club at Palace on text message that say, do this today, make sure you get in early, whatever, particularly with the COVID regulations and stuff. So I decided to reply, please play Elise and not Jordan Ayew, but it doesn't let you reply. Yeah. So it bounced back. But everyone has been saying, start Elise. Jordan Ayew scored like one goal in 40 for us. He runs a lot. He works hard. But as I keep saying, Forrest Gump ran a lot, but he didn't play professional football. Sure enough, Elise comes on and he scores within minutes. Yeah, he's a real talent. He was universally sort of known as the best young player in the Championship last season. I mean, our transfer dealings have been unbelievable in this summer. I'd argue that with the amount of players that we had going out, we've had the best transfer window in the league. To sum up, he's cost us 8 million. which is 20 million less than Leeds to pay for Dan James.
Having said that, we were linked with Dan James, but I'm pleased with Luckman overall. But yeah, he looks to be, you know, I think he's going to be one of those when we look back at the end of the season and said, right, you know, what was the transfer of the season? What was the transfer that worked better? I think he will definitely be up there. How far can Palace go this season?
It's our first season, so feet on the ground. Vieira started well, but he's still a young manager. He's going to make mistakes along the way. His subs went well yesterday. I wasn't so sure on his subs against Brighton. There's going to be a sticky patch at some point. How does he react to that as a young manager? At the moment, we're in that honeymoon period. All the players are loving him. He's probably got that Vieira effect because a lot of these players grew up watching him. But it does feel really good. And I think our recruitment in the summer is also down, by the way, to Dougie Freeman, our director of football. Because I think a lot of these were lined up. Vieira came in quite late in the summer. Our recruitment's been brilliant. Conor Gallagher on loan has been fantastic. I don't think he played okay quite well yesterday. He's had much, much better games. So I think, you know, I think still think 11th to 15th, what I said at the start of the season, should be, you know, the expectation. But having said that, I didn't expect to be saying it this early. I do think we can push for top 10. I do definitely think we're capable. And I didn't expect to say that. In terms of long term beyond this season, I actually think I was after the 1990 FA Cup team that Ian Wright, Gareth Southgate and all that. So probably the best team in my lifetime was the team who got to the FA Cup final against Man United in around 2016-17. And that team had Bolasie and Saha on either side, if you remember. I think this team that we're building is going to be better than that team that became 7 minutes within winning an FA Cup. You've got to remember as well, you've talked about Elise, you've talked about Conor Gallagher, you've talked about Edouard. There's always the Saha factor. We still got Eze to come back from injury. Throw him in the mix, and it's getting very, very spicy. So it's I don't really have too much of a ceiling for this team. I think we could go far, but this season, Vieira's first season, my feet are still firmly on the ground. I think 11th to 15th, with the style improving, because it had to improve. We couldn't go on playing the way we were under Roy Hodgson forever. It was stagnating. I think would be a good season, but I do think we could get more.
Yeah. Hello to Miss Molina. How the devil are you? Good luck later on this week with what you've got to do. Hope it works well for you. I'll say a prayer for you. Static, two Arsenal fans coming in at once there, like bloody buses. You wait for ages for an Arsenal fan, then two coming at once. Static, how the devil are you? I mean, I would like to see, now that we've played you, apart from when we play you again, I would like to see Palace do well, because I'm one of these that I love to see the big clubs, and I know Newcastle are, you know, the fans don't deserve it, but when the big clubs struggle, and I know disrespect, but I like to see, like us, because we're not a big club, we're still sort of, you know, in that next group, I like to see teams like us do well. You know, I think it just...
Yeah, that's, I mean,
more interesting.
That's why, you know, I mean, I think everyone apart from the top six have absolutely loved watching Leicester smash the top six cartel and watch them pull a little strop about it and even try and make a Super League. So, yeah, I mean, it's always good. And, I still wish Leicester well. I was kind of hoping you'd do well in Europe. And I like Brendan Rodgers. I absolutely think you should keep the faith. It's still early days for you. It's still early in the season. You've still got time to turn it around. And I think Ndidi is back November. That would be big for you to get him back. So, yeah, I think Vieira as well is such an intriguing appointment that it's one of those ones this season everyone will be watching and was intrigued about. And I think it'll be fascinating to follow him. And there's definitely a real buzz about Palace at the moment. The atmosphere is incredible. Obviously, fans coming back was always going to be a buzz, but everyone in the crowd is buying into what Vieira is doing. So I definitely think, watch this space with Palace. I think you on Sunday saw a little glimmer of what it's going to be honest.
And talking of having a couple of Arsenal fans coming in, you've got them coming up.
We do.
Next week, a bit of a derby. Well, say a London derby for us. But
is James Maddison playing for me? Is for Arsenal? I was led to believe in the summer that he would be.
I didn't say that, Molina and Static.
I was led to believe for quite a few years that Wilfred Zaha would be in an Arsenal shirt, but he's still not in one either. So,
yeah. I dare say anything because I get accused of picking on Arsenal fans. But yeah. I have to be honest with you, and no disrespect to Molina and Charlie, Molina and Static. Sorry, they weren't. I don't include them in this, but there was a lot of Arsenal fans that were presuming that he was going to walk over broken glass to go there. I tell you what. You could say probably at the moment, maybe we wish he had, you know, but then that might be being a little bit unfair of me. Do you fancy your chances against Arsenal at the moment?
I do. I'm a bit annoyed. I think we're on a good momentum. I think I'm a bit frustrated. This international break has come in at a time. Hopefully our players come back unscathed from it. I fancy us to have a bit of a go at Arsenal, to be honest with you. I'm not a big Arteta fan. I think he could be gone by the end of the season.
Well, it depends which way his process takes them, I guess, you know, to quote them. But I suppose for Leicester, the international break's probably come at a good time. For you, it's come at a bad time. I'm looking at this season that for the last two seasons, we've probably punched above our weight a little bit. And I was pleased to see West Ham up there because I do like to see these clubs do well and not the big six, so to speak. But for the last two seasons, we've been looking over our shoulder, worried about who's coming up behind us. You know, Liverpool have dropped out, so they're going to come back. Or Man, you know, where this season, it's probably us. It is us that are behind playing catch up. So that might have a different effect. On the team, but where do you see Leicester finishing?
Like I said, I don't think you'll get challenged to the top four and the money you have in the last two seasons. But because basically, I think the top four is locked, and I don't like saying that because I'd love it to be smashed. But I think Liverpool showed last season that even with the injuries they had and the poor season they had, it's so hard to dislodge them. And obviously, he did that in the most unbelievable way when he won the league. But I think, you know, I still think you'll be top 10, possibly. I still think you can push for a European spot in the league if you get yourself together quickly. But you do seem, from watching you the other day, you do need to have a massive regroup over this break and get your stuff in order. But you've definitely got the players to do it. You made a couple of good signings in the summer. I think Ndidi coming back in November will be big. I still think you can... have a good season. It's just, you know, it's hard now. What's the Leicester expectation? That's the hard thing now to manage that, you know, after you've smashed
them. I'm like, somebody said, oh, you're just a fickle football fan. I went, well, if you look up football in the dictionary, it says fickle. We all are fickle. Yeah. And the more, I honestly believe that, and not in a horrible way, but I think the better you do, any team, you know, if you finish, let's say, 10th this season, you'll want to finish higher. Yeah. Next season, I think
the cups are interesting as well. You showed it by winning the FA Cup last season that you're capable of doing that. And when I was speaking to Neil on Beyond the 90 the other day, he said, you know, whilst the top four is not locked in, what I did agree with him on that was on the day, so many teams within this Premier League are capable of beating the top four on a one-off. I'm looking at the cup once we get Eze back, thinking, let's have a go at that, especially while we've got Conor Gallagher, because I don't think we'll have... Palace fans won't like me for saying this because we're desperate to keep him, but I think he'll be back at Chelsea next season. So I'd love to see us have a go. When you're a team like us and like Palace, who've been 11th and 15th for years, you crave a run in the FA Cup because that's where the excitement comes.
It totally does. And for us, that's... Well, I'm 60 this year, and the first time I've seen us win the FA Cup. It's the first time we have won the FA Cup, so it took us a while. Took us a while to do it. Look, Ali, thanks so much for coming on. Thanks for being honest and in your appraisal. Give a shout out to where people can find you.
Yeah, Pride of South London Fan TV on YouTube. Come check it out. Come subscribe. Often do Palace previews or Palace reviews, and often, as I was saying earlier, some crowd shots. Now we're back in the ground, so right next to the Homestead Fanatics in the Homestead end, so get quite a lot of that. I just see that, you know, I know the Palace atmosphere is quite infamous, so come check it out, press that subscribe button, and see you hopefully for the return fixture for some more Schlupp magic.
Please don't. Please don't. Mate, you've been schlupped. That's the saying. Mate, thanks so much. Good luck for the season. Obviously, apart from when you play us. The link to your thing is in the description underneath and to your Twitter. So get following. Thank you so much. And good luck and thanks for coming on, mate.
Yeah, have a great evening. Thank you, everyone. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Thanks to Ali there for coming on. I know it was a bit of a rush for him because he was stuck at work and what have you, and hopefully not stuck behind any, whatever these people are called that are blocking the roads, you know. I'd love to turn up in a steamroller and say, right, block this then, you buggers. I mean, it wasn't a good result, was it at all? I mean, if we have a look, say, here at the player ratings that Brian Langston gives to the players. I mean, you know, the man of the match for us, Castagna, which was also Alan's choice, gets a 7, you know. Well, you got the 3 substitutes getting a 4. That was kind of understandable. But everybody else was just 6s and 5s. And that's the thing I think that is most confusing. I mean, you know, even if you look at the stats, and I know stats are very misleading. They can give you a lot of misinformation. But, you know, 18 shots for Palace, 9 shots for us, but our 9, 56% were on target. You know, what I think you've got to look at there is the fact that they had nearly 200 more passes than we did. And we're supposed to be the team that likes to pass it about and give it. But I don't think it was like, I tell you what it was like. Somebody said this on the post-match show. It was like watching FIFA. I'm useless at FIFA. And, you know, I'd be running and I'd want to pass the ball. And instead of passing the ball, I'd run it out of play, you know, like you do. Oh, there, what have I done? And you give the ball away to throw in. That's what it looked like, that our players were pressing the pass button rather than the shoot button. And touches, 786 compared to our 586. That is 200 more touches. If we want to finish where we finished before, we've got to improve. Just simple. Tomorrow night, we're going to be doing this. X on the pitch. You see what I did there? Hey, I'm really proud of myself for doing that. I need to get out more, don't I? You know what? Every Tuesday, Julian Watts, subject to obviously anything coming up, Julian Watts is going to be with us. Ex-player, obviously he supplied the cross that Claridge shinned into the net against Palace. Every Tuesday, he's going to give us the professional take on things. You know, last week he was on. It was a really good show. We looked at the start to Leicester's season, and we could do that every week at the moment, couldn't we? VAR decisions and whether ex-players should be, you know, from the maybe, no, no disrespect, from the third and fourth tiers who weren't going to get a job in media, should be looking at the VAR. And even Julian said he would love to do it. The Lazio game we looked at and Cornet and his Burnley dive. I say dive, but is cheating, shall we call it? So basically, we have 4 subjects. We have 4 subjects that we go that we will do different every week, and then at the end there'll be viewers' questions. So if you're watching it or you want to, you know, pop in, hopefully Facebook will be working tomorrow, so we'll be on there live. Don't know whether Facebook is working now. It wasn't just before we went live, but we'll have viewers' questions at the end. So basically, we're going to take Damari Gray as the example, a player who could do nothing when he was at Leicester. And you can't blame the manager because it wasn't manager, just one manager. JJ, good evening. How the devil are you, sir? Thanks for joining us. Albeit a bit late, but thanks for popping in. You got a note. So we're going to be looking at, like I say, Damari Gray as the example of players that don't do well at Leicester, why they go elsewhere and then do well. And like I say, is it Leicester's management? It can't be, because it was 3 or 4. Maybe it's just they move and they click with the new manager at the new club. Anyway, he's doing reasonably well at Everton. A lot of Leicester fans are saying, "Nah, we shouldn't have got rid of him." Well, we'll see over the season. But he's doing well, the lad, today, at the moment, anyway. We're also going to be looking at Kelechi Iheanacho not being allowed into Poland. Whose fault was that? Is it the player? Should he have sorted the paperwork out? Or is it the club that made a huge cock-up in not making sure that the player had the right documentation? Surely it is the club, isn't it? It was a very, very expensive... I'm not saying we would have won. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying we would have won if Kelechi had been playing. You never know. We'll also be looking at the Legia Warsaw game, which was pretty awful, wasn't it? Let's be honest with you. In a season so far of awful games, that was pretty awful. And then we'll be looking at managers. Are they sacked too soon? Watford reappointed Claudio Ranieri, of course, ex-Leicester player today. Couldn't keep Fulham up. Why do they think he'll keep Watford up? And do Watford, I mean, they change their managers more often than I change my underwear. And if you were here at this end with me, you'd believe me. But it's ridiculous, isn't it? West Brom did the same last year, sacked the manager within 3 or 4 or 5 weeks. It's ridiculous. We'll be talking to him about that as well. And then, like I say, any questions that you pose during the show, we will be asking him. So that is tomorrow night, and that will be at 9 o'clock. No match this weekend in the Premier League. So Monday at 7, we have got the monthly review show. We'll be looking back at September. Me and Dan, the Chris and Dan show, the CD show. Yeah, I'll leave that one with you. I don't think we'll be dressing up like that, but you never know. Monthly review show, 9 o'clock on Thursday. We'll be looking back at generally football during the month of September. We may have one of my shirt show specials. God, I'm glad I said that before I'd had a drink. We will see. And then on Friday, the 8th of October at 7 o'clock, it's quiz time. The quiz is back. And we'll be looking, talking to Russell from Brighton podcast, Brighton Rock. And he will be seeing if Brighton can do better than Leicester. We're still fourth there. We're hanging on to fourth in that league, even if we're not in the Premier League. And the Prediction League, by the way, obviously there's no Prediction League show this week because there's no Premier League show at the end of the week. But in the Prediction show that I do with the ex-players, as you know, there's 5 ex-players and me, I'm not doing very well. I'm bottom. Yeah, so we won't mention that. Don't mention that at all. Beyond the 19th, Neil, good evening. How the devil are you, sir? Welcome along. Are you annoyed? What's happening? What's gone wrong? Like I said, don't start me again. I'll be having another rant. Same team, same manager, new players, and it's all going so wrong. Is it just a case of, and this is the other thing I'm thinking, that yes, we may have been punching above our weight for the last 2 seasons, but we've also got other clubs, Manchester, West Ham, Everton, those sort of teams that are wanting our place as well. Brentford this season. So is it a case of, this is the season when we go, you know what? We need to kind of just take it all in. We need to actually just, you know, look at ourselves and go, a reality check, if you like. Is this our reality check season? I don't know. We will find out. And Terry's got his question ready for tomorrow night. I hope it's a clean one, Terry, and doesn't involve your dog. Oh, that would be a rough. And then it takes us back to the lamppost questions earlier. Guys, thanks so much. Thank to Ali. His link's in the channel, in the description below on YouTube. If you're not on Facebook, because I say I don't think this is working on Facebook, you can still catch us because I'll post it once it is up and running. Don't forget, give me about 10 minutes after the end of the show. And as always, it goes up on all the major podcast platforms and search the podcast Leicester Till I Die, Amazon Music, Apple iTunes, Google iPlayer, Google, God, I'm going mad, Anchor, Spotify, and Podcast Addict. I put a new set of teeth in today, and then they're not fitting me properly. They're about 10 minutes. Thanks very much to everybody. I'll see you tomorrow night, 9 o'clock, back with Julian for the X on the Pitch show. Stay safe. And the words of D. Ream, things can only get better.
That's all, folks. Hello, Matt Elliott here. Be sure to watch Leicester Till I Die TV on YouTube and follow all their social media platforms for the latest updates and news on Leicester.
Be back.
Thanks for watching Leicester Till I Die. This is Chris saying goodbye and see you next time.